You are listening to Abiding Hope Church's podcast of our weekly sermons. For more information about our church, please visit abidinghope.org.
This is the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus put before the crowds another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. But while everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat, and then went away. And when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." The slave said to him, "Then do you want us to go and gather them?" But he replied, "No, for in gathering the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, 'Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples approached him, saying, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field." He answered, "The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Just as the weeds are collected and burned up with fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will collect out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all evildoers, and they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Let anyone with ears listen." This is the gospel of our Lord. I invite you to be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be with you. In the name of our risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. A few years ago, our family gathered with about 35 members of my husband's extended family at a beach house in North Carolina. Our group ranged in age from about 8 to 80, and we spent a week of sun and sand and a lot of time together as family, playing games, doing puzzles, things like that. And one of the things that we found that we really enjoyed was a game that we could all play together. It was a game called Werewolf. Has anybody played this game? No, nobody in any of the services has played this game. So let me tell you how to play it. It's a social deduction game. And this is how you play. Every player gets a card that reveals their identity in the game. Some of the members of the group are werewolves, but most people have cards that say that they're a villager. And there's a few other cards mixed in there as well. And people with those cards are usually helpers or healers of some kind. There's a moderator in the game that tells a story in which all of the villagers fall asleep and everyone closes their eyes. And while the villagers are asleep, the people who are werewolves wake up. And they decide together who from the village they're going to select. And unfortunately, the person that they select will not survive the night. When the villagers wake up and find that one of their members has become a werewolf snack, they set about the task of deciding who among them is the perpetrator. Each player then points fingers at someone else, trying to explain why they are the werewolf, and while they defend themselves, explaining why they are certainly not the werewolf. When the villagers finally settle on one or more suspects, then they vote. And the person with the most votes against them is exiled from the village, or worse, if the moderator is a good storyteller and very creative. While it sounds grim, it's actually a really fun game to play with a large group of people. And it's also super easy, because honestly, it doesn't take much skill to point fingers at other people, to blame them or accuse them of something when you actually know nothing about their real identity. We found that an 8-year-old and an 80-year-old can do it with about equal accuracy. The only unfortunate side of the game is that we usually ended up sacrificing a lot of innocent villagers in our quest for justice and truth, but what can you do? I mean, there was a werewolf at large. When I read our gospel text today, I couldn't help but think about this game. Maybe because we just played it again on another family vacation, or maybe because the field hands in the story have something in common with the villagers in the game. In our gospel text today, Jesus is sharing a parable about the kingdom of heaven. In it, he describes a field that contains both good and bad seed. As the seed sprouts, the workers in the field suspect that there are some weeds among the wheat. And so they go to the master, suggesting that they pull out all of the weeds. But the master of the field says, "No, for in gathering up the weeds, you would uproot the wheat along with them." The weeds that Matthew is probably referring to in this story are something called a darnel. They're plentiful in Israel and sometimes called false wheat. Darnels look exactly like wheat until they mature. Once the plants mature, you can tell the difference because the heaviness of the grain at the end of the wheat will cause it to droop over, but the darnels that don't have any substance will continue to stand up straight. The whole point is to say that it's not so easy to tell wheat from weeds. It takes time and patience and special insight to be able to distinguish between the two. So the master of the field tells the field hands to tend to all of the plants equally, to let them grow together until the harvest time, when more will be revealed. If you're a gardener, this parable probably sounds like foolishness. But if you are a person in need of grace, this parable might sound like good news. A few weeks ago, I heard a news story about a man who had been arrested as a teenager for selling drugs in front of a small grocery store in his hometown. The same man now owns that grocery store, and he was being honored by his community for all of the important ways that he's made a difference in that town. The store owner is a great example of a person who at one time may have been thought of as a weed, someone who was unwanted and troublesome. But apparently, with time and patience and the right conditions, this man's blossomed, and he's now being lifted up by his community as an example of someone who's doing such good and important work. I can't remember exactly where I saw this story, but when I thought of it in relation to today's gospel text, I wanted to go back and watch it again, and this time pay closer attention to the details. I searched for this news segment, and I couldn't find it anywhere. And maybe that's because it's really not that remarkable of a story. A lot of people overcome the mistakes of their past. They learn and they grow and they find support. They mature and evolve and they turn their lives around. Our parable today creates space for that kind of transformation. And it suggests that in the kingdom of God, this kind of transformation isn't just possible, but it's probable. Because the master of the field knows that some plants just need a little bit more time. They need some water, and they need some nutrients, and they need the sun. And with those things, plants that look a lot like weeds might surprise you. So thank goodness it's not our job to decide who is wheat and who is weeds, who is worthy and who is worthless, who is redeemable and who is lost. Because if we're honest, all of us are all of those things at some point in our lives. We're all simultaneously saint and sinner. We are all weeds and wheat. In a field where grace pours down like rain, judgment is not our burden to bear. Thank goodness. Because even in a silly game, our judgment can be so wrong. The game of werewolf can end one of two ways. If the wolf is obvious and the villagers are lucky, then they might make the right decision and put an end to the nighttime troubles. But more often than not, I find that the villagers point their fingers at all the wrong people. They cast judgment on one another, knocking each other out of the game until there are fewer and fewer people playing. Unaware of one another's identity, they often cast out those people who are healers and helpers before their role can even be revealed. And eventually, the werewolves win because the villagers have turned on each other in their rush to judgment. In the haste to judge and deflect and defend, they have uprooted the wheat along with the weeds. Good thing it's just a game, because werewolves. And also, blame and shame and judgment, they're not ours to wield. We are just the gardener's helpers, and we are called to deal in grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.